Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This morning with Morgan Godfrey. Morena, Morgan, how are you?
Kia ora, Rachel. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Very well. Pleased to have you on the show, as per usual. And we've got some big topics to talk about today. We're going to be talking a little bit about iwi checkpoints. Of course, we're in level three, and there's been a lot of discussion about it, and also possibly might find out if we're moving into level two or when we're moving into level two later this week. So we'll be chatting about that a little bit. But I wanted to start by talking about the Epidemic Response Committee and also the government have both come under a bit of fire for not necessarily consulting with Māori around COVID-19 crisis from early days. Should we start by talking about the government? Because I guess their response to COVID-19 is what the Epidemic Response Committee responds to use response about 17 times in a sentence there. Do you think it's a fair criticism that people are levelling at the government that there hasn't been enough Māori involvement from the get-go?
Oh, absolutely. It's been quite bad. For example, Pini Henare, who's the Māori MP for the Auckland Māori seat, Tamaki Makaurau, he's also the Civil Defence Minister, but we haven't seen anything of him at all over the last 6 weeks, which I guess is perhaps a signal to me, or at least the gossip around Wellington is, that he's been sidelined, and with that sidelining, so have other Māori ministers who, you know, everyone will notice, both Māori and non-Māori, have been absolutely invisible. Mm-hmm. The only people who are visible at the moment are the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance. And everyone else seems to have been given their stay-at-home orders and very much have stayed in the background. So it's kind of that's kind of disappointing that someone like Pini Henare, given his very central role in an emergency response, being the Civil Defence Minister, isn't visible or doesn't appear to be doing anything at all. And that's probably a wider metaphor for what the government's doing with Māori as well. You don't see much out of the government departments like the Ministry of Māori Development or Te Arawhiti. You don't see much collaboration either with Māori leaders, iwi leaders, whoever it is. So yeah, it's kind of it's unusual. But at the same time, well, it kind of fits as part of a pattern, maybe, with this government, given their approach to Ihu Mātou and Māori water rights and everything else.
I'm kind of interested, what does this sort of mean more broadly for Māori health under this kind of pandemic? What are some of the potential consequences you could see from this lack of engagement by the government?
Given the Māori population's demographic profile, you know, we are largely poorer than other New Zealanders. We're more likely to live in overcrowded houses than other New Zealanders. Given facts like that, that makes the Māori population just a little bit more vulnerable than other populations in New Zealand or other demographics in New Zealand. So kind of, you know, given that, given the very specific vulnerability of Māori, and given the very central role of Māori in political life, you know, we have treaty rights here. Given those two things, it's very unusual. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just unusual, but it's actually quite bad that Māori don't have a central role in the government's response, and that Māori have taken things into their own hands with things like iwi checkpoints at their borders, partly out of you know, a commitment to Māori independence and keeping their own people safe, but also I think a response that's been forced by the government, because the government's simply not doing enough. So these iwi have taken the power into their own hands, which is quite a good thing to see.
I want to come back to iwi checkpoints in a minute, but I also want to touch on the Epidemic Response Committee, because they've been set up basically to hold the government to account on how they are responding to COVID-19, and they've also been under fire for not having enough Māori health engagement in that. And also yesterday we saw from Ruth Dyson and some other MPs that they're saying that Simon Bridges in particular has been apparently ignoring proposals for more Māori involvement. What does this mean, I guess, in terms of this bigger picture as well? Do you think, first of all, that sounds like a fair levelling, and secondly, do you think that what are some of the consequences you think could come out of this, Morgan?
Yeah, I think Ruth Dyson was right, and that Simon Bridges did refuse or did block having Māori experts on. And I think that was very deliberate by Simon Bridges as well. You know, he's trying to play this angle that things like iwi checkpoints are not his words, but sort of the words of other people in the National Party, quote, vigilante checkpoints. He's trying to play the angle that gangs and gang members are present at checkpoints and are, you know, illegally turning people away. So he used the example, the fake example, of gang members in Makitu turning people away, which the police had to come out publicly and correct him on, which is quite unusual for the police to come out to publicly contradict a politician, especially the leader of the opposition. That is very, very unusual. It shows how bad the misinformation campaign the National Party's running is, that the police, you know, a neutral or a seemingly neutral organisation like the police have to come out to say, no, you're wrong. So it's a pretty dangerous political game that he's playing. You also would have seen his attacks on the Director General of Health, which, you know, maybe he's onto a good thing in saying that the lockdown was illegal, or maybe he's correct about that. The court's going to rule on that in the coming months. But at the same time, it's quite an interesting political strategy to run, to attack the most popular person in the country right now. Seems like a really dumb thing to do, which is very typical of Simon Bridges, to do very dumb things. And that's why the National Party in private polling is polling in the very low 30s. So, yes, I think it's getting quite ugly, to be honest, to give it the broadest overview. It's getting quite ugly.
I think there's also that that concern as well, that you do need a very strong opposition in a pandemic, because you need people to be able to hold a government to account. And there does seem to be some criticism of at least the way that Simon is going about holding the government to account isn't necessarily helpful, perhaps, for I guess the bigger picture of making sure that that accountability is listened to by the public, perhaps.
Yeah, it seems quite. I agree that the Epidemic Response Committee is needed. It's a good thing, but it seems very contrived, at least the way Simon Bridges has been running it recently. I think when lockdown first started about 6 weeks ago, the committee was doing good work. It was non-politicised. Simon Bridges was a very good chair. But as the weeks have gone on, and perhaps as the seriousness has moderately reduced, the seriousness of the pandemic has moderately reduced, at least in this country, I think that he's kind of perhaps sensed that he can go back on the attack. So he's really, how would I put it gently, I think he structured the committee in a way which is advantageous to him by inviting experts who are critical of the government and not inviting experts who perhaps might not make it, or who perhaps won't make him look good, like Māori leaders and other Māori experts. So, it's a disappointing development given how important the committee should have been. It's disappointing that Simon Bridges appears to be politicising it now.
I'd like to go back to the iwi checkpoints that we've been talking about a little bit this morning. Obviously, as you said, Morgan, they seem to have sort of arisen for kind of purposes of tino rangatiratanga, but also out of a sense of perhaps necessity. Do you think that the calls for them to continue under level two, do you think there is going to be much grounds for those calls to be upheld?
I think it's a choice for the individual iwi in question. Perhaps if I was running a checkpoint, I would stop at level two. I would probably make the judgment that it's safe enough that they're not needed. But if other iwis were to decide otherwise, say up the east coast, Te Whanau Apanui, I think I've seen that they're going to continue with checkpoints into level two. That's their decision to make. And given the history of the Spanish flu and various other epidemics on the east coast, I wouldn't blame them for taking the most cautious approach possible, or taking the safest approach possible, because the stakes might be a little lower than they were, say, 6 weeks ago. But the question is, do you really want to take the risk? And if people don't want to take the risk, no matter who it is, whether it's iwi or anyone else, I wouldn't blame them at all.
It seems to be there's been a lot of criticism that there's a big element of racism underpinning a lot of the discussion around iwi checkpoints that isn't, I've seen some people noting, you know, part of the discussion at all when you talk about big businesses, for example, being able to make their own decisions about who can come in and out of their premises at something like level two. And obviously that's a very different context, but does seem to be an important conversation that is happening as well. Would you like to see a little bit more, I guess, conversation in the media or the more mainstream media about how these different facets of New Zealand are being addressed underneath the kind of COVID crisis, Morgan?
I think so. There's a weird disconnect in the mainstream media between the different groups and different classes and different ethnicities in New Zealand. Like if you watch Seven Sharp, for example, over the lockdown period, there were all these really nice feel-good stories about people in their $100,000 or $200,000 kitchens doing this and that and their very nice homes locked down, having a very nice time, which is all well and good. But at the same time, other parts of New Zealand go absolutely unreported, and the mainstream media is absolutely quiet on it. Where I live in Kawerau, which is one of the poorest towns in New Zealand, like how people are dealing or coping with lockdown here goes absolutely unreported, which is quite disappointing. And you know, the Māori angle is dominated by sort of sensationalist takes on iwi checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than looking at kind of, you know, the deeper responses or the other responses rather to the lockdown and to the pandemic, like iwi, like in the Taranaki distributing care packages and the like to their iwi members, especially older people in their iwi, things like that have just gone totally unreported or totally unnoticed by the mainstream media, which is quite quite disappointing, but I suppose at the same time it's not unexpected.
Perhaps, unfortunately. Hey, Morgan, it's been a pleasure to chat to you, and obviously these big topics I'm sure we'll be touching on again in the future. But all the best until we speak to you next. Thanks for chatting to us this morning.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rachel.
Cheers.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.